Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I know some of you already know, but this is the fifth day of September. I thank God for all that he's been doing and all that he's been saying to us, all that he's been instructing us to do. And it is really a blessing and pleasure to know that God loves us so much, that he has not only given us his mind, the mind of Christ, if we want it. That's what I love, if we want it. He's not going to push it on us. So if we want it, he's already given us what we need. So Minister Sylvia is on the line today, and Minister Margo, and Minister Sheila, and anyone else that's on the line, if I don't know you, hopefully you'll introduce yourself to us. So at this time, I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray with us and for us. Minister Sheila, are you able to pray?
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you, Apostle-elect. I just want to thank all that are here today through the mercy, the love, and the grace of God, our Father, and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I just thank you, and I thank you because we know if we don't know, without you, we would not be here. We would not have another day. For each day that I open my eyes, that we all, when we open our eyes, should thank God, our Father, and the Son of Christ, Lord Jesus, for another day, which I call another birthday, because it's another life. It's a new day to love and cherish and praise the Lord for another day, because yet we know so many have not made it. Lord, I'm asking you to send out a special blessing of love over this holiday weekend, because each and every holiday, people get a little more, you know, a little more out of life. And I say they do a little more things because it's a holiday. They might drink more, might be using more drugs, might be just into more disadvantaged activities than advantage. But Lord, I give honor and to you and to ask you to bless us all that we might wake up and realize that we need to thank you and live and cherish the life you have given us. God, I give honor to you, the head of my life, the head of our life, that have given us another day, that woke us up, to give us another birthday, another blessed day, another day of life, another new day to love and to cherish and to obey and to ask you for your leadership and your guidance and to teach us more and more each day. Thank you for Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Minister Renee Wright, Kaiser Wright, Minister Margot McCoy, Evangelist Missionary Tony Montgomery and Linda Handy, Reverend Lawrence Seaberry, and to all that I have mentioned and haven't mentioned, know and don't know, but to all the sons and daughters, the teachers, the preachers, the pastors, the deacons, to all that you have here to learn us the right way of life. I thank you for my sisters, my brothers, my nieces, my nephews, my granddaughters, my grandsons, my uncles, my aunts. Lord, I just thank you for my bloodline family and also my spiritual family. But Lord, I just thank you and ask you to bless us. Bless this government that we have elected in leadership to lead us all the right way, your way, and to bless us. And to have my teaching, thank you. And to bless us right and to lead us all and to know we are all God's children. We are all His, no matter what your color, creed, religion, or whatever. We are all God's in Christ Lord Jesus, sons and daughters. We are all one nation. And to bless this law enforcement to lead us into the right way and to treat us all as equal. God, I thank you to let us know no matter what we're going through, health-wise, financial-wise, on our job, within our family, within our neighborhood, or just within ourselves. Lord, we need your blessing, your teaching, and your knowledge. So God, most of all, I thank you for letting us all have another day and to lead us through each and every day with your love and your wisdom and your knowledge. I just thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And like I said, I could not thank you enough. And I just say thank you. Although it's another Sunday, I just want to say I apologize now just in case if I cannot end the program because yet I am at work. But I still want to thank you for God for letting us have the knowledge and the love to understand and to help each other. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Back into your hands, Apostle-elect.
Thank you, Minister Sheila. Wow. You know, I love God's song that says, I need you, oh Lord, I need you. And so if I had a title to give to this message or series, whatever it ends up being, it would be Sanctify Our Mind. God, sanctify every fiber of my total being. God, sanctify my mind. See, the title would be such that I wouldn't live out a tittle. I wouldn't live out a thing because I'd want it all to be sanctified. So I'm first going to talk about, it was something that I had put on Minister Sylvia's chat line when she was ministering on Friday night. She was talking about trusting God, and she shared some things that I had talked about with her. And so it talked about how Sarah Brown had said, trust is turning over every aspect of my life to God. That's the T. R is realizing that God already has a perfect plan for me. U, understanding that I may not always understand. S is the seeking God will every step of the way. T, thanking God when things don't turn out as expected. And then there was another minister that said the T was for thank God that he will accomplish his purpose in us. The R was receive the revelation of the leads to renewal. The U was understanding that leads to conviction and results in our taking action. The S was spirit through the power of the cross of the Holy Spirit. And we are crucified in the flesh into the lures of the word. The T is transform my degrees. We forget past, reach forward, and press towards the call of God in Christ Jesus. And then the last one that God allowed me to find was T, trust, that unbroken absolute trust in God, faith in Jesus, R, resting. We need to rest, people, and we need proper rest. U, unity. Unity, like the day of Pentecost, is in harmony. S, the Son, Jesus, who is the light. And then T, temperance. Self-control, balance in every aspect. So you might say, why did you go through all of that? Because I'm talking about sanctify, which means to set apart, to declare holy and consecrate, to be anointed, to be ordained, to be confirmed, to be vindicated, to be authorized and legitimized, to be purified, to be cleansed, to be absolute. See, the biblical definition of sanctification is just as we said earlier, it's being set apart. But you're not just set apart. You're set apart for a special use and purpose that makes it that you will be holy and you will be sacred in the things that you do and you say and how you think. because you want a complete life of holiness with God as he perfects us. Not that we're so perfect or suchy-muchy, but we're asking God, God, as you are setting me aside for your special purpose, sanctify everything about me. John 17, verses 14 through 19 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore. Then I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth, and your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them unto the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Now, this is Jesus, with a prayer for the disciples. Do you know that we're his disciples? Do you know that that prayer he prayed for them? If you don't know that it's also for you, on today, know that I pray this prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples, for you to know it, praying the prayer for it to be effective or established, but for you to know it. Now, I want you to, you're going to have to be patient with me as I go through these various things that I'm going to talk about. Because for some people, it may seem that what I'm about to say is going to be off topic. But by the time I get to the end, you're going to know that this is all in line. In the world, when we speak, sometimes we use fillers. We use, well is to show that we're thinking about something. Is to say that I don't know the answer yet, but I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to decide. I'm trying to come up with something. Or we'll say, meaning that it's not exact, but it's like something. Or I might say actually, basically, or seriously. These are more fillers. And they're to bring strength to whatever I'm talking about. I might say totally or literally or clearly. This is sometimes when I just want you to know that what I'm saying is true. And I'm putting emphasis on what I'm saying. Another filler could be, you see, you know, that's because I want you to see what I'm talking about because I've assumed that you didn't understand it. Or I could say, you know, assuming that you, the listener, already know about this, and so I'm talking to you about something that you already know. I could also use a filler of saying, I mean, or I meant, because I'm trying to clarify something. Or I could say, you know what I mean, assuming that you're following along with what I'm saying. Or I could say, at the end of the day, it means at the end of whatever I'm talking about or in conclusion. I could also use believe me. Do you believe me? I'm asking you to trust me. I'm telling you something. Say, believe me when I tell you this. Trust me when I say this. And so if I ask you if you believe me, it's because I'm trying to get you to trust what I'm saying. I could also say, I guess, I suppose, because, you know, we could be talking about something and I'm hesitant to agree with what you're saying, or I don't really understand what you're saying. Or I could say it's something like, it's not exactly, but it's something like. I could also say something like, okay, so, meaning that I'm getting ready to introduce a new topic or that I'm summarizing what I've already been talking about. Or I could say right or mm-hmm. And that means yes. That's my way of saying I agree with what you're saying. Now, let's talk about these fillers. How many of you know that in life we have mind and thought fillers? Think about that. Mind and thought fillers. How many times have you had a disagreement or conversation with someone? or you've even been listening to them as they speak, just like I'm doing right now, and your mind tries to tell you what I'm saying. Your mind tries to interlink what I'm talking about. Your mind tries to use what you know or think you know to figure out where I'm really going. Well, I want to give you a quick example of what a mind filler can do. The other day I was talking to someone that works for me, and she said, well, you said you were going to dock me. And I was like, what is she talking about? She was using an abbreviation for document, D-O-C. But what I heard was doc, D-O-C-K, which was dealing with docking her pay. So she was talking, and she was just going on and on. And I mean, she was just ranting. She was just making her point. And I am sitting there trying to figure out what in the world is she talking about. When did I say to her I was going to dock her pay? And she's still talking, and I'm like trying to figure out, what would I be docking her pay for? And she's still talking, but she's talking about when I told her I was going to document something that she did as far as in her performance. But that's not what I'm hearing, because she's using the word doc. She's not saying document. She's saying doc. And so I finally let her finish what she was saying. And then I said, I don't even use that terminology. I don't use the word doc. What are you talking about? She says, you were talking about documenting my performance. And I said, oh. She had already talked for at least 15 minutes of me trying to figure out what in the world she talking about. And then I told her, I said, although you were using what, she says, D-O-C, I said, that's not what I heard. I heard D-O-C-K. I said, you and I are from two different places, and our conversation and words that we use and verbiage in our language isn't always the same. I said, remember, we're taught that if we're going to use an abbreviation of some type, we say the word first so that the person can follow us. But see, my mind filler, my thought filler was doc with a K. And her conversation was document, a whole word. To be honest, I've never talked to anyone that took the word document and made it doc. I really haven't. So now I know when I'm talking with this particular person, I need to find out, what did you hear? What did you hear that I said? So when I talk to her and we use various abbreviations, I learned that she said, this person so-and-so. And I said, what person so-and-so? And she didn't understand why I asked her, who was she talking about? So say she said the person and their name was Diane. I said, that's not the name she used, but I said, which Diane? And she says, you know. You see, she did a filler. And I said, no, I don't know. I said, which Diane? She only knows one Diane, but in the agency that I work in, I know five. So I needed to know which Diane she was talking about. And when I explained to her that there were other Dianes in the organization, then she no longer had to put a filler in there to try to say that I knew what she was talking about or who she was talking about. Because now she understood I had no clue of who she was talking about. And if she was trying to brief me on what happened, I needed to know which Diane she had talked about. Was this a senior level Diane? Someone equal to me, Diane, someone equal to her, Diane, someone sitting in human resources, someone sitting in the blue carpet area, which is like a red carpet type area where the leadership sits. And so at that time, we both were talking, but we both also had to make sure that we understood what each other was saying. So now I want you to imagine this same situation where these thought fillers and these mind fillers were being used. And if I had been having a bad day, or if she had been having a bad day, and we weren't on the phone talking, and we had talked, and now I got off the phone without understanding what she meant by doc, and she got off thinking she had communicated what she meant by doc, but that the other person was not trying to hear what they were saying. So what fillers, what type of thought could have entered into our mind? Say if I tried to call her back and I couldn't reach her, or she tried to call me back and she couldn't reach me. And at that time, say if I was trying to contact someone that didn't like her or that she knew didn't like me, but both of our phones were busy. Think about that. And now the mind fillers and the thought fillers are starting to jump in, starting to either cause us to think positive things, or they're causing us to think negative things. What type of thought fillers can you think about that have filled your mind or your heart when you've been dealing with some type of jealousy or envy or paranoia or insecurity or doubt or fear or feelings of being overcome, of overwhelmed, or when you felt unwelcome, or when you were consumed with fatigue, or when you were extremely hungry, or when you were dealing with some type of neglect or microaggressions or hatred or biases towards you? What type of evil or negative thoughts were the thought fillers and the mind fillers that made you and your very emotions change or think something about someone? I'm talking about how the author of confusion will try to intervene and cause us or someone to be an agent for him, an agent of confusion, an agent of mayhem. Let's remember, when we pray, when we speak God's word, that the accuser, Satan, is still lurking about, trying to change what we said, trying to pervert what we said, trying to instigate misunderstandings. But think about if we've been praying and if we've been meditating on God's word and we've been thinking good thoughts, not only about the person, but about ourselves. Because sometimes those thought fillers is the enemy trying to make us feel bad. Not necessarily that person that we were talking to, but to make us feel bad about something we may have thought. Well, just remember this about Satan the accuser. In Genesis 3:1, he was very cunning. He said to Eve, "Did God really say that you can't eat from the tree in the garden?" In Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Sometimes it's something that the enemy's planted in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 2:11, "In order for Satan to outwit us, he tries to pull in that we're not even aware of." Look at what happened in Zechariah 3:1-2. It says, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. Rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?'" And even in Job, how his friends came and they accused him. But guess what? Even Satan went to God and asked him if he could touch him. He said, come, let's start from the first verse. Again, there's a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about the earth, walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Margo, Minister Margo? Have you considered my servant, Minister Sheila? Have you considered my servant, Minister Sylvia? For there is no one like them on the earth, each one of you. And he still holds fast his integrity. You hold fast your integrity. You have done the things that God has told you to do, but yet Satan wants to touch you, your bones, your skin. But he needs for God to give him permission. Don't you know that Romans 8 and 33 says, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies them. You just heard. Satan the accuser will bring a charge against you for no reason, just because God was bragging on you. Proverbs 3 and 5. This is good to me. And I'll, like I said, we'll get into why in a little bit. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. See, if we lean on our own understandings, the mind fillers might try to set in. The thought fillers may try to set in to make you think your sister, your cousin, your friend, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, they don't like you. They are doing this against you. They're doing that against you. Your biker friend, your loved one, your aunt, your uncle. Luke 24 and 38 says, and he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Why does doubts arise in our heart against our brothers and our sisters in Christ? 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. When those negative thoughts come in our minds, those mind fillers, are we resisting the devil and saying, God, teach me how to allow the mind of Christ fillers to fill my thoughts? I'm jumping ahead of the message too soon. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. See, even when we're thinking those thoughts that those mind fillers and thought fillers try to come in, it's because it's the enemy masquerading himself as the angel of light. According to 2 Corinthians 11 and 14, it says, and wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as the angel of light. He'll make you think that thought you had against your brother and sister, oh, that was innocent. Oh, that was based off of so-and-so. So no, let's keep it real. John 8 and 44 says, you are of your father the devil, and you want to carry out the father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has not stood the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he tells lies, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. John 10 and 10 says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and to have it full. Ah, my goodness. John 17 and 17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And I said, God, sanctify your people. Sanctify
what we talk about, how we talk about it, why we talk about it, where we talk about it. God, sanctify your people in the call and the work that you've given us, the life and the holiness that you've declared that we should have. God, sanctify our faithfulness, God, for we know that we are even to do as Ecclesiastes 7:5-8 says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than a man to hear the songs of a fool. 8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. We have to remember that even 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, sanctification is not about losing things, but being set free from them. Oh, my God. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Uh-huh. Don't say, oh, now a mind filler just jumped in there to try to make you think I was talking about you. No, God might be talking to you, but that's what God does. When we share a word, he steps right on in and he causes conviction. So the word of God also tells us that one final word, friends, we ask you, urge is more like it, that you keep on doing what he told you to do to please God, not in the dogged religious plot, but we're doing these things in order to be kept by God. Minister Biolas had said that salvation gets into heaven, but sanctification determines your position once you get there. The greater your calling, the greater your sanctification must be. The greater your sanctification, the less you must change between earth and heaven. The first great deliverance is from the bondage of sin. Your second great deliverance is from the bondage of self. The first comes from the blood of Christ alone. The second comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Both require surrendering yourself that you would receive the gift first of salvation, then sanctification. You know, we have to remember that the enemy wants us to be prostituted by him, where he can take our minds and cause us to think on those things that are not pleasing to God, that he can cause us to use those mind fillers that will cause us to think ill of one another, that will cause us to go around and dissect the very word that God is using to speak to you, to speak to me. But God wants us to hear the word of the Lord that's coming through one another so that he can sanctify the message that he's trying to send to us. The message that he's sending to Cecilia, he may not be sending to Sylvia. The message that he's sending to Sylvia, he may not be sending to Margot. The message that he's sending to Margot, he may not be sending to Sheila. The message that he's sending to Sheila, he may not be sending to Troy. The message that he's sending to Troy, he may not be sending to Dr. Serena Wright. The message that he's sending to Dr. Serena Wright, he may not be sending to Prophet Antoine. So let's allow God to sanctify the truth that he's sending to us, to sanctify every fiber of our total being, to sanctify our central nervous system that incorporates our eyes and our ears and our minds and the very necks that we have in our brains to understand what he's saying. He's going to sanctify our circulatory and cardiovascular systems so that not only would our heart and our blood vessels and arteries operate right, but even the very heart that he's given us of flesh will be that heart that loves, agape love. My. Not the malfunctions that the enemy would try to send our way. See, even our lymphatic system that teaches us how to eat right and do things right and take our medications and get plenty of rest so that we can have an immune system to fight off the infections. God wants us to fight off infections in the dis-ease of thinking wrongs, thinking. He wants to sanctify our fillers, sanctify our mind fillers, sanctify our thought fillers. You know, we eat every day, you know, with our mouths and our tongues and our teeth, and then our stomach digests it into our large intestines. intestines and small intestines. See, when we receive a word like we're receiving on today, we have to ask God to, God, give me the meat of it and throw away the bones. God, give me the things that I need in order to be a person that can reproduce what you've given me. In the natural, I have fallopian tubes and a uterus and things of that sort. But God, don't let me become infertile in the very things that you've given me in this word, because I want to reproduce. I don't want to reproduce infections. I don't want to reproduce pain. I don't want to reproduce inflammation, but I want to reproduce your word that'll revive somebody, that will encourage somebody, that'll deliver somebody. I'm praying, God, sanctify and circumcise me. Prune me until I give you all the glory. Prune me until I know that I'm walking in the abundance of God. Take away every sin that has tried to kill and steal and destroy me through bondage, through jealousy, through pride and perversion, through things that have tried to cause me to even walk against the very doctrine of God. Because if I'm speaking against my very sisters and brothers in the body of Christ, that means I've become deaf and dumb to the love of God, to the word of God that tells me to minister to them, to tells me to lay hands on them so that when they're sick, they shall recover. That tells me to remind them that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against them, it shall be condemned. See, we have to worship God and worship him in spirit and in truth, not walk around dealing with various idolatries and heaviness and sorrows and things like that, that try to make us think on those things that are not of God. See, God's word said, think on these things. So we have to think on those things of God. So we have to go to God and say, God, sanctify my patience. Sanctify my joy. Sanctify my judgment. Sanctify my deliverance. Sanctify my reverence. Sanctify my faith. Sanctify my love. Sanctify my wholeness in you, my wholeheartedness. Sanctify my wisdom. Sanctify your holiness in me, your wisdom in me. God, give me a peaceful rest so that I'm not impatient. God, sanctify my patience. God, sanctify my truth so the truth will set me free. Sanctify the mercy that you've given to me so that I can give to somebody else. God, sanctify your grace so that I can give it to somebody else. God, sanctify how I know to accept what you allow. God, sanctify how I share your word in its boldness, in its clarity, so that every element of humanity can be set free. God, sanctify the blessings and the promises that you've placed in my life. God, sanctify my friendships, my relationships, my fellowships, my associations, and my associates, even very down to the very who's, when's, where's, and how's, and why's, every consonant, every vowel, every number, every millisecond, every nanosecond, every hour, every decade, every century. God, sanctify the strength of me, which is the joy of the Lord, is my strength. God, help me to go from everlasting to everlasting, where I'm saying, God, sanctify my thanksgiving, for I can enter into your gates with thanksgiving and to your courts with praise. God, sanctify my understanding. Sanctify my yes. Sanctify my will so that my will aligns with your will and my ways align with your ways. Sanctify your word that I pray and declare and decree and teach and preach. God, sanctify my love so that it's agape love and not this earthly phileo love and these things that are fly by night. God, sanctify your covering and how you've given me to cover others. God, sanctify the things that I ask you for, that I seek and I knock at your door. God, sanctify me so that whatsoever I ask you, God, is not in vain. God, sanctify me so that when I ask you, I know that you've given me. God, sanctify me until I know that your word abides in me and I abide in you, and that your word was Jesus made flesh. So now my mind is the mind of Christ. Now my requests are the things that align with your word. God, sanctify me. Every element of my body, sanctify me so that my mind fillers and my thought fillers will be the things that only Christ would see. God, sanctify me until Jehovah Shammah has all power over me. Sanctify me until Jehovah Shalom is my peace. Sanctify me until the plans that you have for me, I know that you have for me. God, sanctify me until I know that you're my Jehovah Jireh, till I know that you're my Jehovah Rapha, till I know that I'm whole, till I know that you're my Lord of hosts, until I know that you're my righteousness, until I know that you're my battle axe, until I know that you're my rewarder, until I know that you're the author and the finisher of my faith, until I know that you're my anchor, until I know that you're my daddy God, until I know that even the sincerity of what I say is because I decided, God, that even the creativities and the innovations and the witty thoughts that you've given me, that you've given me the power and the victory over all things. God, sanctify my mind in the name of Jesus. Sanctify my heart, God. Don't leave anything about me unsanctified. Jesus' name. Minister Sheila, I turn it back over to you. Glory to your name.
Thank you. Thank you for that testimony, that teaching, that knowledge, that uplifting. Just want to thank you, Apostle. Thank you for that. I just want to say the lines are open to anyone that has a statement, a testimony, a remark. The lines are open.
God bless the saints. This morning, God bless us to have another Sunday, and I just like to thank Apostle Elect for those words of about sanctification for us. We ask God to continue to set us apart, to set us apart in everything that we do. As she talked about our thoughts, our words, our deeds, we are to be set apart from this world. And we must look at that as an honor to be sanctified and set apart for this message and what it has meant to me. On a personal level, thank God for ministering to his children today through the apostle. God bless you, apostle. Strengthen you. Keep you. Continue to allow you to speak boldly for him. In Jesus' name, I give him the thanks. Praise him. Amen.
Thank you
morning.
For your thank
you so much. Good morning. Thank you so much for your word on today, Apostle. This is Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm asking God to also sanctify every part of my being. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for your remarks, Minister Marva McCoy, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. Is there anyone else? Okay, I want to thank all that was able to talk, because I know there's times when you can listen, but you're not able to respond. But I just want to say thank you, God, for all that is on this line, that is listening, and to participate in the morning on a Sunday to praise and to listen to God's words that was sent for all of us to hear, learn, and to take into and to believe and to learn on and to accept and to have the knowledge that we are here to learn and to understand more ways than we know how God's work with each and every one of us, what we might be going through. Another one can bring it up and talk about it and settle it. And it's just that God's work in so many mysterious ways. When you think he's not listening, there he is. It don't have to come within you. It can come from another. But God is magnificent. He works more ways than one. He will answer and take care of you more ways than one. I just want to say I want to thank everyone, excuse me, for listening to the program. And I just want to ask, is there anyone else or anything you need to say? Apostle, you have any last remarks, statements, or announcements before we end the program?
Yes, Minister Sheila, I just want to remind everyone that If we look in the natural, in our those mind fillers, those conversation fillers, sometimes we don't understand how, as I just said, they can be things that start off small, but they build. And I am learning how those mind fillers and thought fillers, the more we spend time with God, the less of a negative impact they can have in our lives, and the more of a positive impact. And as those positive impacts happen, we've got to know that the enemy is going to send agents and demonic forces to try to change that. That's his job. But it doesn't matter, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he's teaching us how to reign with him. So when the mind fillers and thought fillers come, remember, God said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. That's all.
Thank you, Apostle. I just want to say thank you. And I just want to say I praise and thank the Lord for all that was listening today. And just say, if you continue to listen, invite your family, friends, and neighbors, but continue within yourself listening to our program on Sunday mornings, 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser for Let's Talk. And on Monday nights, which is Blog Talk and also Facebook, Iron Sharpening Iron, at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I believe this Monday, our teacher and speaker will be Dr. Serena Wright. And on Friday nights, which is Blog Talk and also Facebook, I believe this one will be Prophet Antoine Thomas and Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright with the message of glory and understanding and teaching. And if there's no corrections on my announcement, I'm going to ask this Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright for yourself.
I'm going to have to ask Minister Margot to do it because I'm at work and I'm in the middle of something right now. Minister Margot, can you please close us out?
Yes, God bless. It's my honor, and I will leave us with Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, we thank you for your word on today. We thank you for those who stand in the gap and spare not and tell us that we must seek you. We must live righteously. And we can't worry about the things, because those things will pass away, but your word will stand. Thank you for your word on today. Thank you for the word that's in our hearts. Thank you for blessing us, sanctifying us, and keeping us in your arms. We love you. For all those who are listening, go in strength and know God loves you. He cares for you. He's with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Count on that. Expect only the best, because that's what God has for you. We love you, and we lift up God for you. Be blessed, saints of God.
Thank you, Minister Margot, of course, for that. Thank you.